that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
And once again, that old wheel's rolled around. Here it is, Saturday morning, the 18th day of February. And it's time. I've got my Bible here. I've got my coffee poured. I know the other Wranglers do too. We hope you do too out there. We thank you for joining us this morning. You're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Get your Bible out. Pour you a cup of coffee and join us. We'll be right back after this.
Don't be weak. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has rolled around again. Believe it or not, it is Saturday morning, the 18th day of February. And we do welcome you to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard here at the Radio Ranch. Boy, the sun is just, oh, there's a horse between me and the sun, but it is just peeking up over the mountains. And, oh, the big stud horse is right here outside the window in the corral, and I can just see him outlined with those rays of sunshine highlighting all around him. It's right here Saturday morning. And we've got Jason, another Wrangler on the line. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
How are things down in La Porte?
Oh, they're doing well, real well.
Good,
beautiful
good.
Day down here. A little chilly this morning, but you can just tell it's going to be a beautiful day.
Looks like that here, too. Blue skies. Oh, 14 degrees outside. That's a pair of gloves and a Carhartt work jacket won't hold off. And that sure worked this morning. And we got the Ramrod with us this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, man.
And we don't have Kyle with us this morning. He's making a fast little trip, so he was busy this morning, but he told us he'd be sure be praying for us and with us, and so we appreciate that. Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning, please?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we ask for your blessing upon this Radio Ranch broadcast. We ask that you guide and direct each and every one of us with your thoughts that you'd have us to cover today. Give us the words to speak. We just ask for a quickening of the Holy Spirit. We come to you and just ask that this be a Satan stomper and a saint blesser, Father, of a broadcast, and we call for it to be done in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, I've got a couple things I wanted to cover this morning, but I can hold off and get to those eventually. And so if one of you guys have something you wanted to share with the people, the listeners out there.
I was looking at the update on that a little Jezebel female dog in Rhode Island that filed that lawsuit against the school for having prayer
right
on the gym wall for the last 60 years. Well, apparently she won because school district voted the other night 5-2 on taking it to appeal. Appears it's a money issue. They've already spent almost $200,000 just defending it in the Rhode Island court system. So they got a picture of her here smiling and with her Antichrist Jew lawyer and friends and family all around her. So that's a little disheartening. The good thing is she may have to find a new place to go to school because everyone in the town seems to be bullying her and
they're just doing
police protection to go to a school. I love it.
Right, they're just doing what is on their heart.
Yeah.
Too bad they weren't doing a little bit more of it.
Yeah, that she can run, but she can't hide because right now she's running. Oh, she's going to have to find a different school. But the wrath that's going to come upon her and that's going to chase her down and the destruction that is coming, she won't be able to hide from. Praise the Lord for that.
Says even in homeroom, as they say the Pledge of Allegiance, the other kids scream at her, under God.
Yeah, there's something else for her to complain about. So
well, you know, that's a praise report right there.
It is.
Yep.
It is.
Greater is he that is for us than those that are against us. That's all we can yep. get to stand on that.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
God doesn't let us live in a vacuum. And it's just like in the days of old, you know, when we can't say they anymore. We should really just, because it's we that were in the Old Testament. It's our ancestors. It's those that came, our predecessors, those that came before us that went to God and said, oh, we want a king like everybody else. You know, and that's going to the king and saying that. You know, that's like your wife coming to you and saying, you know, honey, I want a husband like all the other women have. And you're thinking, well, haven't I been a good husband? Haven't I provided for you? Haven't I loved you? Haven't I done everything that a good husband is supposed to do and a good king? Because God certainly had, and the people didn't want to hear it. They said, oh, you know, probably, but we want to be like everybody else.
Yep.
And they went, and he gave them a king, even though, you know, he told them what would happen to them if they had an earthly king. Like all the other people, but they wanted it anyway, and so here we are today, and not that they're kings, but we are looking at another presidential race. Has anybody been following that here in this the ungodly, unchristian country that we live in today?
Yeah, somewhat. It seems. Rick Santorum is doing pretty well. I don't know. You're always voting for the lesser of two evils. So
yeah. Now, is he a Mormon, too?
No, he's not a Mormon, but oh. I've been told that he's Catholic. I'm not sure. I don't have two witnesses on that. But
well, you know, John Kennedy was Catholic, so that should be good, right? Isn't that the way our people look at it?
Yeah. You know, what's funny is we all know that Republican, Democrat don't mean nothing. So they're all in the same bed. They just take turns. One gets you there a little faster. But they really don't like so-called the Tea Party because they're conservative views. So even the Republicans are slamming someone who tries to be conservative. But, you know, it's all just a show. So what difference does it make?
Yeah, we had I got an email from a good Christian man the other day. And he said, you know, I know you guys are always slamming Ron Paul, but here I want you to listen to this, you know, speech that he gave, and sounds like he's been listening to Pastor Peter's broadcast. So I did. I went in, and it says listen from about, you know, 27 to 29 minutes into the broadcast. And I did. And he mentions the remnant. You know, there's always been a remnant, and, you know, the remnant this and remnant that. And, you know, and I know that he's mentioned, you know, other things along those lines before. But that does not make him a Christian. That does not make him, you know, he's a lifetime what do you call it, senator, representative, whatever. He's done that most of his life, and I know he's a doctor as well. But, you know, there again, it's just looking and saying, you know, oh, this king would be better than that king. And, you know, Ron, John, you're absolutely right between the, you know, not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. So I'm going to give it to you, John. Got the phone ringing. I'll mute and see who we got calling in. So you guys take it away.
So, Jason, what's the latest on the Iran issues? I saw you had an article on that.
Yeah, the Iran issues is pretty interesting right now because, you know, everybody's pointing their finger at Iran saying, and, I mean, they're pointing the finger at them saying, we got to do something here, we got to do something here. Well,
you've like seen that before.
The Newswire says, you know, we don't have any, first of all, we don't have any proof that Iran has been building any nuclear weapons in any way, shape, or form. I mean, nobody's ever been able to prove it. It's based on speculation. And anytime the United States government is saying, okay, we got to be careful of these people, we got to, you know, they're doing this and they're doing that, and especially when, you know, the United States government's doing that, and then the Israel government is doing that, you know, that's something that should automatically raise a red flag in people's minds. Because, you know,
only
Israel,
if you know the truth,
want,
though.
What's that?
Only if you know the truth of who true Israel is. If you
right.
believe the lie, then
yeah, well, the
you
people
side with Israel, you know.
Too. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Good point. Very good point. You know, and that's what... But Israel here, they're, you know, they're screaming bloody murder, you know, oh, we got to do something about Iran, we got to do something about Iran. And the interesting thing is, you know, there's just simply no proof that Iran's ever done anything with nuclear weapons. And,
yeah.
You know, like the ones it's interesting because in these dialectics and stuff, the way things always work is, you know, most of the time when somebody's screaming, you know, accusing somebody of doing something, that's exactly what they are doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now we're at the place where Israel has between 200 and 300 nuclear weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have people, you know, talking about that, saying anything about that.
Because they're not in the club. Yeah, it's no different than weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, you know.
Yeah, that's what they, you know, when they go over to Iraq, you know, that was what they were saying is, oh, we got to go, you know, they got weapons of mass destruction over there. They never found any. That's why we invaded there, bombed the living daylights of the country over there, you know. And right from the beginning, that's what we were supposed to be in there about. That's what it was all about. Did we ever find any?
No.
No. Never did.
Yeah, it's interesting that Iraq, you guys talking about the weapons of mass destruction. We have reports that they have them. And so we've been in a 10-plus year war over there because of this.
Yeah.
Because they masterminded 9/11, and that wasn't enough, though. And they have weapons of mass destruction. Remember, there was always that, you know, that event as well to stir up the people. You know, kill off, sacrifice 3,000 or 4,000. And you get the people's attention. And Jason, you did an excellent article, if the people haven't read it, on 70 years later. It was in our last newsletter of last year. And it talked about how the same, there's nothing new under the sun, how the exact same thing had happened with Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor was it might have been a surprise attack for the people like me and you that were in the Army or the Navy that were sitting out there, like sitting ducks. But it was no surprise. It was not. They knew it was coming. Those that hate war, as Pastor Peters used to say, and then they get you into it. The leaders of this country, the president, he knew what was coming. They were playing chess. We were learning how to play checkers, and they knew that it was coming. And that's what you need. You need 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 sacrifices to rally the American people. Remember Pearl Harbor. And it worked 70 years ago, and it worked 10 years ago on 9/11. And they did the same thing. And the people knew it was coming, and you get 3,000 or 4,000 sacrifices and weapons of mass destruction that Iraq has, and so now we've been at war since then. And that's longer than World War I and World War II combined. We're at 10 plus years. Oh, now we're bringing home troops. Now we're turning things over by 2014 and on and on and on. But we're still at war. And
yeah,
so
well,
you look at the exact same thing will happen. Not claiming to be a prophet at all, but you look, the exact same thing will happen with Iran. You're hearing all this weapons of mass destruction, Obamajad, he's Satan himself, Obamajad, weapons of mass destruction. What's lacking for us to get into a war with them? The 3,000 to 5,000.
The button hasn't been pushed yet.
Right, the 3,000 to 5,000 number of people sacrificed.
Yeah,
that's all that's missing for those. And you're right. It is. I don't know, it's not our people, but it's the people that rule and run the country that do right now, and it's the Jewish influence that they have. Yeah, it is by all means the Antichrist that run the country. And
the media, though, just, you know, a lot of people, that's all they listen to is the TV and the radio and, you know, the main news outlets, and they just go by that. You know, that's why the Antichrist enemy is doing so much to try to shut down the internet, because, you know, that's how we get the truth out to our people. And
it is.
If you look back to 10 years ago when they were, you know, talking about, going in and finding these weapons of mass destruction, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, they said that they were looking for them, and you'd hear these news blips about, they got a new lead. And they got some intel on where they had some weapons of mass destruction. And then they'd send some troops over here, and they'd send some troops over there. And, they never found any. They'd say, well, we found evidence that there might have been some weapons of mass destruction in this area at one time. And pretty soon, it's their incanting spell-casting abilities, but pretty soon, they don't even say anything about it. And people don't ask the question, well, what happened? You know, where's the weapons? You know, they'll come out and, well, we found evidence, but it's locked up and it's confidential evidence, and, you know, they never say another word about it.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, same thing.
It is. And we're looking at it one more time, you know. And they tell their stories in their songs and in their movies, too. You know, they've had movies out. They've had movies out where people were looking for these weapons of mass destruction, you know, and they get big names to star in it. And then they find out that, oh, there weren't any, and they couldn't find any. And it's just as you described it, Jason. They go here, they go there, and they never find any of them. Oh, wow. And the people just enjoy it because it's an action movie and it's got a Hollywood star in it, big names, And then they sit back laughing because they've told their story. They've done it. And then they just wait a few years, and then they tell their story. They tell exactly what they did, and they just sit and laugh all the way to the bank about it. And, again, people, there's nothing new under the sun. It's been over 10 years, and it's time for another one. That is one of the, I'm not sure which one it is, but it is one of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, is to keep the goyim, the sheep, the cattle, that's how they look at us, to keep the goyim in perpetual wars, constant wars, with no clear enemy. And you look back at our history, and that's exactly what they've done. That's exactly the last, you know, from Vietnam on, and you can include Korea and World War II if you want, but at least from Vietnam on, we have pretty much been at war at one time or another. See, people today don't even talk about the Cold War that we were in. But since then, since communism died and the Berlin Wall fell, we have been basically at war. Against who? Who knows? Why? Oh, weapons of mass destruction. They they bombed 9/11. You know, who knows? Nobody knows. But we're just at war. We just got to go kill the enemy. And it's patriotic, and it's for our freedom. Oh, it's for our freedom that our, you know, oh, pray for our troops, because it's for our freedom that they're over there defending mom and dad and apple pie. Of course, mom might have a female partner, and dad might have a gay partner anymore, and, you know, the apple pie is full of MSG and made in China, but it's for our freedom. And the people just sit, you're right, they sit there in front of their TV, John, and they soak it up. And they believe it. You know, between down here at the Radio Ranch office and my house up, you know, a mile up the road, I've got to drive by a couple neighbors' houses. And there's one neighbor up there that when you drive by, if he's home, he's in worshiping his small g god. He's sitting there not bowed down before the blue boob tube, but he's sitting there in his chair, you know, every time you drive by. And how many of our people are out there the exact same way?
Yeah, well, and it's interesting just with this news propaganda that they're going on right now is that they're trying to generate fear of Iran, you know, having a weapon of mass destruction, having a nuclear weapon that's
yes.
capable of hitting the United States or hitting Israel. But the thing is most people don't even know where Iran is. Most people don't know anything about Iran.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if our weapon system is so, supposed to be so advanced the way that they talk about it, and to defend against incoming nuclear attacks, then really people here should have absolutely nothing to worry about. But it's amazing how they have this, you know, it's obvious what they're doing. They're generating fear. They're
yes.
trying to put it in people's minds that there's a problem. And then they're going to want to intervene before the problem becomes an imminent threat to one of our nations. And basically the way it works is Israel says, oh, they're going to do something. We need to, you guys need to stop them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've got a bully in my neighborhood. You need to beat him up because he's threatening me. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Jason, I've got, I think, a verse opened up in my Bible that we've certainly heard you bring out a time or two. And it's Matthew 24:6. And it says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." But that's Matthew 24:6.
Birth pangs.
And we've heard, it is, and we've heard our pastor mention it, and I know, Jason, I think of you reading that time and time again. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's the times we're living in right there.
It is. It is. And so expect these things. And so when you see these things happening, it will happen with Iran. Because
oh, yeah.
if you look at our history, it has happened with Iraq and Pakistan. And, you know, it has happened before. It happened the 70 years ago with Japan.
Could happen just to keep Obama nation in there, too, right,
yes.
right around election time.
Yes.
Or they wait, you know, during an election year, usually things are pretty good, you know, trying to make the dictator in charge look good, so who knows.
But have you noticed, John, yet normally that's how it is, but, you know, here we are, it's February, the election's in November, and maybe they're just waiting, but boy, gas prices haven't dropped. Normally...
Mm-hmm. They've dropped a little bit.
Have they? Boy, they...
Yeah.
I hear the reports on the news that they're... You know, gas is $4 a gallon in New York and California and places, so let's talk about opening the phone lines up. If you guys want to, we can. I got the line ringing. Let me grab that, and I'll turn it over to you guys.
Okay. Well, and some other interesting things that have been going on is, you know, we talked about Iran. I was going to talk about, oh, did you see the story? It was kind of funny about the... Oh, that drone that was shot out of the sky by some people with shotguns.
Yeah, where was that?
That was in South Carolina, I believe. Wow. I had that drone. It was funny because I had some people in my office the other day, and they were all talking about the drones and worried about these drones that can fly 150 feet above the sky and just above tree level, and that they can spy on you, and they got these cameras and this and that. And I said, you might want to take and start investing in buckshot, because I had just have a feeling that those drones wouldn't handle buckshot real good. And sure enough, here was a story this morning on that drone that the animal rights group sent up to check on animals. They've been fought on the ability to get this thing up in the air, and finally got it an okay with all the law enforcement to send it up because they weren't breaking any laws, even though it was being protested pretty heavily. And about the time they launch it from the tree line, just a little bit down the road, came the shots. And here came the shots, and down came the drone, and off took the hunters, I guess the drone hunters, we could call them. And they got out of there, and they didn't get caught, so that was always a good thing. But I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, I used to have the saying that said if they bleed, then we can kill them. Well, if they can fly, we can shoot them down.
Amen. What's the latest on that Monsanto thing?
That Monsanto story. That was a pretty good victory. I was really happy to see that. That was the one that Monsanto Corporation was actually found guilty for chemical poisoning. And this was over in France, and they had a lawsuit. It's been an ongoing lawsuit. I think it started about 8 months ago, was the last part of the trial. It originally started back in 2004 when charges were filed against the Monsanto Corporation for poisoning crops and having long-term lingering effects on people that were eating the crops. And, of course, that's been... You know, it's happened all over the place, but to get a guilty charge against the corporation, that is a victory. And we've been praying against that because, you know, that's one of the corporations that, you know, I know that they're on the other side. I mean, they're part of the wicked ones. They're part of the ones that come to steal, kill, and destroy. They're destroying our food. They're taking over our food. And, you know, they're killing and poisoning our people. And, They are master poisoners, and they've done this, and it's spread like wildfire across the world. And you know, here was a victory, you know, for us that put the guilty charge on them. So hopefully this is something that'll spread, and they'll start getting some more guilty charges in some of these other cases that have been going on. But these are some of the cases that we've been praying for. This corporation, this Monsanto corporation, to be brought down. It's a giant.
Yeah. And that's what we've been praying to in Luke 12, 2.
Exactly.
Things done in the dark will be exposed.
Praise, you know, and Lord. Sometimes we pray things like that, and we don't know on what front those prayers are going to be answered.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's something that's been done in darkness for a long time. There's been a few voices in the wilderness crying out against it. But, you know, we prayed it. We prayed it in faith. And, you know, sometimes you can take a step back and look and say, okay, you know, that's answered prayer. And that's all this is right here, because this corporation, they thought they had everything sewed up. They thought they could get away with murder, you know, time and time again, and never be called on the carpet for it.
Yep, they thought they were above the law. They're not above God's law.
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, that's what people need to remember. But we'll have to continue to keep that in our prayer, because, you know, here's something that, here's a corporation that, boy, I sure would like to see brought down, and, you know, that, you know, our grandchildren, you know, don't even know what it is.
Yep.
It was just one of those things. We got all these news stories posted up the Newswire on the SFAWBN.com. If you'd like to go and read them for yourself, there's some really good information there, and sometimes it just it keeps you on. It gives you things to pray about. I know when I'm posting these things up there that you know it sure you go through some of these news articles and some of the stuff that people are sending me and that sort of thing. But it really puts things into perspective, and it shows you the needs of where we need to target our prayers, what we need to pray about, and you know, just one of those things that the Gideon soldiers need to do.
Yeah, I'd like to plug Jason a little bit too here. I've actually been getting more and more into the technical part of this thing, and boy, the Lord sure raised up an IT warrior in Jason and our man in I want to encourage those of you that are listening to actually access this FAW, and you can receive all of this through your iPhone. I just have an iPhone now, and through your iPad, but if you have a MP3, is that what it is, Jason, the input in your vehicle, you can plug your iPhone into your system, and man, I was listening to live.
John, I don't know what's going on or where losing
clear as can be.
Yeah, John, we're losing you. Even though those MP3s are clear as can be, we're having some issues with your phone. I don't know if your phone there at the house is breaking up on you or what.
Oh, well, Jason can elaborate on it. I got to go anyways. My son's got a basketball game this morning, so thank you, gentlemen.
John, thanks for joining us.
And man, basically what John was saying is we've been staying on the cutting edge of the technology, making the broadcast available to the masses. I mean, people can listen in on satellite, they can listen in on shortwave, they can listen in live streaming on the internet. You know, those are all live feeds that you can get at basically anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, a lot of places anywhere in the world. I'm sure there's plenty that you can't, but you know, to have that available is just pretty awesome. And then the ability that we have just with the websites and the web advances that we have, you know, with the smartphones coming to the masses, people can download these broadcasts that are archived on the site, put them on a phone, put them on an iPod, plug them in their car, listen to them while they're traveling. And I talk to a lot of people, and that's what they do is they download the broadcast, they put them on an iPod, they listen to them when they're going to work and when they're coming home, and then they, you know, when they're done listening to it, they take it home and they plug it into their computer and they make a CD of it and give it to other people, and it's just, you know, it's a convenience, but it's, you know, a convenience to get the truth out, which is, you know, you can reach more people when you have this kind of stuff available to you.
Amen. Yeah, we've got many out there that that have upgraded to those type things. You know, when we had to move away from tapes, from the old tapes, into just CDs, but that was the point too, that we were able to get, like Jason said, all these basically MP3 files archived at the website, and you can go and listen. You can go back at least a couple of months and just click on the schedule and listen to. Right then, listen to what was broadcast at just about any time, whether it was an archived broadcast of Pastor Peters or one of these broadcasts like this, and so many have done just that. You know, whether they're out walking, exercising, traveling. Many of us, you know, many do have a commute, and it's a real easy thing to do. Whether you've got an iPhone or just like Jason said, an MP3 player. You can go to our website, and there's two websites you can go to. So if you have a pen and paper, if you're not familiar with them, you can write these down. And the ministry website is scripturesforamerica.org. That's scripturesforamerica.org. And that's the home, the ministry website. Of course, these all of our 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week broadcasts are streamed live there. And these live broadcasts are archived there as well. And it's real easy to go to the archives there. We also have our complete catalog that's up there, the Resource Center. And you can go there and see all the CDs and DVDs. You can see all the booklets and books that Pastor Peters wrote over his 33-plus years of preaching and teaching from the Word of God. And we have other books there also, from books from Pastor Jones and Colonel Moore and Charles Wiseman and Mr. Richard Kelly Hoskins and others. But they're all listed there. And again, like Jason said, we're keeping up with the technology. We've had many people ask to be able to use PayPal, and we don't want to get into the issues of PayPal, but it's part of the society today, and many people have wanted us to be able to do that, and so you can. You can use PayPal to make any purchases there of any books or CDs, Bibles. We carry several different Bibles there as well. And then you can also make online donations with PayPal if that's what you want to do. And remember that we do rely on your tithes and your offerings and your donations to be able to do just what we're doing today, to get around the Radio Ranch microphone and to broadcast out on shortwave and on the internet and up on audio satellite and to go out 24/7 with these biblical truths that, quite frankly, you really don't get anywhere else. And that's all because of you, the saints, those that do basically sponsor these programs. Know that we're sure appreciative of that. And we continue on in putting the gospel of Jesus Christ out and doing just what we're doing this morning, coming to you and hopefully getting you to think a little bit, to read the Word and to see these worldly events taking place, and one, not to be worried about them, but to use them to draw you near, that hopefully God's using them to draw us all near to Him, and that's what we want to be doing. It really is. Jason, before we run out of time, we did want to talk about Branson a little bit this morning, and also the newsletter. I guess you guys got the newsletter already out in the mail. Is that correct?
Yes, we did. We got it out in the mail, and it's people should be receiving it within the next 7 to 10 days.
Great. Yeah, our post office. I have a P.O. box in town, and they just put a sign up this past week that says your post office box mail will now be available at 1 p.m. And it used to be this, and that replaced a sign that said it was available at 10 a.m. And that replaced a sign that said it was available at 8 a.m. just over the last couple of years. And that's something that we've really noticed in the mail, are issues with that, with the not only the massively increasing postal rates, because the postal rates just went up again the beginning of the year. All the first class went up at least a penny. And then once you start getting into parcels and packages and things like that, some of those went up 30 and 40 cents a piece for the weight. And so we see the price going up and up, the service going down and down. But we are glad to be able to get that newsletter out. That's Volume 2. And as the pastor would say, I sure think it's a winner. It's got a lot of new material in it. And I think the title of that one, I've got it right here in front of me, is called The Wages of Sin. And, Jason, that's kind of a part one of a two-part series, isn't it? You think?
Yeah, it is.
The Wages of Sin.
You know, you never know if it's going to be a part two or a part three or until you get the next one written. But once you get the first part, then that's when you can figure out, okay, this is a two-parter.
Amen. Amen. So we encourage you to get that. If you don't get our free Dragon Slayer newsletter. No, it's not free to put it together. It takes about a week usually of writing and researching, at least that, to put it together, if not longer. It takes about a week to put it together, and then it takes a week to print it. And the printing and the maintenance cost on the large professional grade printers that we use, both color and black and white, would choke an elephant. Many could not imagine what it cost to have these printers. And so it takes a week to put it together, it takes a week to print it, and then, it takes a big check to the post office when we mail that thing out to get that out to you. but we don't beg for funds. We don't say, oh, yes, you know, for a $39 annual fee, you can have the newsletter. No, we're not like some of those others out there. We send it out free of charge. And so if you do want to get it, the address to write for it is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And bringing this right back to the staying on the leading edge of the technology, Jason's able to take this newsletter. We get it to him in a PDF format as well, and he's able to put it up on the website so that you can read it there in full color. You can download it and print it right off the website. And we also email it out. We email it out hundreds of people, a PDF copy. And, of course, that saves us from having to print it and having to mail it. And so there's many ways that you can get this information that's in the Dragon Slayer newsletter. You can write to us. You can email us. You can email us right off the website, and we'd be glad to email it to you or mail you a copy either way. And it is, even if we do it, I'd have to say it is a good newsletter. It truly is.
Well, and you're talking about those post offices closing too. Did you see anything on those? Or you were talking about the post offices being slow, but did you see any of those news stories about the post offices closing?
I haven't seen anything in the mail. They were talking about closing this little tie siding post office, you know, between Laramie and the state line, and it's one that's on the list. And of course, the local people here don't want it to close. But I haven't seen anything else in the news about that.
Yeah, they're closing just under 4,000. I think it was 3,850 post offices here within the next couple months. A lot of them have already closed up.
Wow.
And it was interesting because, you know, hearing the story, you know, was that internet in a lot of these areas is what is closing the post offices. People printing their stamps online, getting their postage online, then just taking stuff to the post office and dropping it off. And, you know, they've been forced to, they're saying that they were forced to shut down these post office. And it just, it's kind of amazing because I went into the post office and they're pushing, you know, buying your stamps
online.
Doing your postage online.
Yeah.
And I told the lady there, one of the ladies that works at the post office, I said, do you know what you're doing? And I'm like, well, this is the reason that all the post offices are closing down. And she didn't have a clue about it. So I printed this story off, and I got it in my truck, and I'm gonna drop it off to her next time I'm in there.
And how many women work down at that little LaPorte post office, Jason?
Oh,
was it like three or four, five?
Yeah, they got about five of them in there now.
Yeah, and it's like that in Laramie. You know, there's two or three men that work in there, and you know, I remember years ago, Jason, we had a man that worked at the LaPorte post office that listened to us on the shortwave. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
He was the only man in there, and but we'd, you know, be dropping off newsletters and in the old days tapes and all this stuff down there to mail out of LaPorte, and he'd mentioned something that Pastor Peters had said on the radio, you know, within the last week or so, and so that was really pretty interesting. It was, but yeah, it's all women down there. All mostly, I'd say it's probably at least half up here, and what a mess it is. It reminds me. It kind of predates you just by a few years, Jason. But it reminds me of growing up and hearing of these type things over in the Soviet Union. And for you young people out there, that's what they used to call Russia before communism died. Ha, ha, ha. But it was like that in the Soviet Union. They had lines. You'd stand in line for 2 or 3 hours to mail a letter out. And then it would cost you, you know, a day's wage to do it. And then you didn't know if the letter would get there or not. And, you know, we're really getting there here today. We're having the same thing. You go to the post office, and, you know, at 10:30 in the morning, when there's nobody at the post office, there's four people behind the counter. And they're standing there looking around because there's nobody there. And then at lunchtime, you know, when everybody else is at lunch at noon from 12 to about 12:30, the line at the post office is out the door. And there's two people at the post office because the other two people are at lunch. And, you know, and then about 2:30 in the afternoon, when the normal people are back to work, there's four people back at the post office working behind the counter and no line. And then between 4:30 and 5:15, right before the post office closes, when people are getting off work and mailing their packages, there's one or two people back working at the post office. And it's very easy to see how inept and basically stupid that the post office is run. I'd like to see them fold, personally, and UPS or FedEx, either one, step in and take over. And within a year or two, we'd be back to getting a good mail service. And I really think that would work. But anyway. Well, before we run out of time, let's do talk about Branson. We do have Branson scheduled the first weekend in June. And we've got a little right here in the middle of this newsletter that we've got out. We've got a little a little introduction to it, and we have a registration form. And this year we have to have a registration form from you to attend. But if it's all right, let me just take a minute, and I'll just explain what we're doing in Branson. And we're basically back at the recently renovated and updated, and I think they changed the name. It used to be the Cobblestone Inn. I think they've got it called the Camden Inn this year and Conference Center in Branson, Missouri, and that's going to be on June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And we are continuing on in the tradition that our pastor started, and that is of gathering together to worship the King of Kings in truth and in spirit. And so the theme at this year's Branson Gathering is going to be defending the faith. Defending the faith. And so there will still be, as there has been in years past, solid biblical teaching. There'll be good gospel singing, and there will be time for fellowship as well. And so we ask you, remnant out there that want to and can't attend, to plan now. We only have room for 300 people. And so the first 300 registrations that we get are the first 300 people that we call back or write back and confirm that they're registered in. We have a great catering service there that gives us a meal or two at a good price. And so we're really looking forward to it. Again, in the newsletter, you can see the hotel's number, the room rates, and so we do encourage those of the remnant that want to attend Branson, get your registrations in fast. We've emailed out probably, I think, about a dozen registrations this past week for people that have sent us emails and said, hey, count us in for, had two large families with several children that have emailed in already this week. And so we just send them a registration and say, get it registered and get it in. Because there is only room for 300. So we encourage you, if you feel so led, to get a registration in and come and attend. We sure are looking forward to that.
And tell them about the scholarship sponsorship program that we got going.
Okay. John really felt led to implement this again this year. And we'd done this, Pastor Peters had done this a few times, usually a little more private, but I know he had done it as well a couple times up at the Rocky Mountain Camp. And basically what that is scholarship and sponsorship. And what that will do is to help some of our congregation that have had it rougher financially to still be able to attend. And basically it also will give an opportunity to those that are maybe have had it a little better financially in the past or this year. It gives them an opportunity to maybe tithe a little extra more or to send in a special donation to be able to help out another, whether it's a person or a family, to help them attend. And we've already had, I know John has mentioned it from the pulpit the last couple of Sundays, and we've already had a really good response to that. We've already had people writing in and calling in and saying, hey, count on me, and here's X amount of money to go into the scholarship. You know, I'd like to sponsor a family. And so we do want to present that to you. In the past, we've had people that, for whatever reason, couldn't get off work or just could not come and attend, but we've had them send in money and say, I can't attend, but use this to let another family attend or let another person attend. So we do present that to you, the scholarship and sponsorship program.
And it goes both ways. You know, if there's people out there that, you know, with these gas prices that are just,
yes,
you know, through the roof, and motel and cost of traveling expenses, you know, if you know, you can't attend because of that, we do have some of this scholarship stuff available where we can help you out with travel expenses and you know, your motel and your food once you get out there. So, you know, that's just that's the way it works.
Right. And, you know, it's some people that may not be familiar with this ministry, Jason, may hear that and think, are you crazy? Don't you think you'll have people just coming out of the woodwork and calling and doing this? And so, you know, we're not just, it's not that we've got so much money that we just need to get rid of it. It's not that at all. But we do pray for the discernment, and we do pray for wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And there's only room for 300. And so what this does is, it's a true and biblical way to bless the people. And it's not this false socialism that you got this abomination doing where he takes from the rich and gives to the poor and thinks that he's Robin Hood. Not at all. But what it does is, the Bible talks about tithing. And the Bible talks about the principle that it is better to give than it is to receive. And that principle is absolutely true. When Jesus Christ came, even a couple of his disciples at one time, James and John, said, "Oh Lord, we want to sit at your right and left hand." And he told them that they didn't know what they were talking about. And so there's times that we have to look to the Word, many times, and see what the biblical principles are. And this is one of those. You cannot, you've heard John say time and time again, and he learned it as we did from our pastor, you cannot outgive God. How many times do we read that through the Bible? You know, God says in Malachi to test me on this. He says, test me on this. Tithe. You tithe and see if it doesn't come back to you more than you can tithe. And that's a true. Proverbs tells us, he who waters gets watered. And so the biblical principle is there to give, to not be concerned with the things of this world, and not to be concerned with just I've got $7 and I got to keep it, or I got $700 and I got to keep it, or I got $7,000 and I've got to keep it, or I got $70,000 and I've got to keep it. Not to be concerned with this world, but to be concerned about the brethren, and to be, you know, and to judge ourselves the way that God looks at us. And I think that's what this does, Jason. You know, if there are those out there that that truly are of the remnant, you know, that are doing their best to serve God, and that feel led to want to try to go to Branson, but maybe just might have the, maybe they can get there, but they don't have room, money for a hotel. Or maybe they can get there and have money for the hotel, but you know, it's expensive to feed a family these days. And you're starting to find that out, aren't you, Jason?
No, yeah, absolutely.
Because your family's growing, and it is. And so, if it's something like that, you know, by all means, you can contact us. And you know, the amount of scholarships that we have will be dependent on the amount of sponsorships that we have. It's not like we've got a big, you know, slush fund to go pull money out of to do this. But as we receive, we will be able to give as well. And so we do put that out. If there are those out there that are of the remnant that do need some help, contact us and let us know, and we will see what we can do. And there again, if there's those out there that that are able to give a little bit more, that are able to help out, maybe some less fortunate or some going through some hard times, to still attend, then by all means, contact us. And in a way, we'll get these two sides together. And I think that the blessing, I don't have it marked. I've got my dad's old King James Bible here, and I don't have it marked, and I don't have it memorized, but I think it was the Apostle Paul. He was writing to one of the churches, and he said, "You gave me a very nice gift, and I appreciate it." and he says something about, it's not that I desire the gift, but I desire what you get by giving it. And that's a, Jason, remember when Pastor used to say, that's a Pete Peters paraphrase. Well, I guess I could just say that's a Richard paraphrase. But, you know, but that principle is there as well. And so it's not that we desire those gifts, but we desire the blessing you get by giving it. And that's very true. It's a very true and biblical principle. And you can't outgive God, that's for sure. That's for sure. So, Branson, 2012. We'll have it up on the website. Todd, our broadcast engineer, is working on getting an online registration for Branson. I think we'll probably have that up and running at least by Monday. And we'll look forward to getting those registrations in. And I know I'm starting to look forward to Branson, that's for sure. Well, Jason, we're down to just a couple minutes. You want to have something maybe to leave the people, maybe invite them to church tomorrow? Give them a little heads up of what they can see there?
Yeah, if you'd like to join us for church, we will get started at 10 o'clock in Mountain Time. You can join us satellite shortwave, streaming on the Internet. We'll be broadcasting in live video starting at 10 o'clock. And to view that video, you can go to www.sfaw.org. And 10 o'clock, we get started with our scriptural insight and study. And we've got a scriptural insight and study, a good one picked out for you tomorrow. And we will have live communion service and song service, and then another vintage message by Pastor Peters. Mm. So we hope that you'll join us, 10 o'clock Mountain Time. And a lot of people are listening in on the shortwave to that. It's, you know, I got a couple notes last week of people that were just telling me how much they enjoyed listening in on the shortwave to our live church service. So that's kind of exciting.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
And once again, that old wheel's rolled around. Here it is, Saturday morning, the 18th day of February. And it's time. I've got my Bible here. I've got my coffee poured. I know the other Wranglers do too. We hope you do too out there. We thank you for joining us this morning. You're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Get your Bible out, pour you a cup of coffee, and join us. We'll be right back after this.
Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak.